The head of the FAA made his case last week before Congress on just why 5G technology as it stands today poses a threat to airplane safety. Congresswoman Nancy Mace of South Carolina was at that hearing, and she joins us now. Congresswoman Mace, thanks so much for making time for us today. I know the FAA Chief Steve Dixon said at that hearing, quote, "We're changing the oil on the engine as the airplanes are flying when it comes to dealing with the dynamic nature of 5G development." I was wondering, what did you think of that when you heard that? And how did we get to this point?
Well, it's sort of crazy, right? We know that American airplanes can handle 5G because they already do. Their altimeters already do in 40 different countries. Crazier than that, the FCC has already approved and given the nod to this technology. So the FAA actually should be working double time to make this a reality.
And Congresswoman, I want to turn your attention to the autonomous vehicle space. It has been so hard for federal regulation to come together, and all of the stakeholders are on a different side of the debate, right? So AV makers have pumped billions into the industry, and now they're facing pressure for return on their investment. Lobbyists say the cars are safe. Unions say that companies are cutting corners and cars shouldn't be put on public roads till they've gone through stringent testing as well. So it's a little bit like the Wild West. People are all over the place on different sides. What are the major concerns and what do you think is causing such a stall?
Well, I think having the due diligence, having this conversation now is great. I wish it had happened a couple of years ago. This kind of technology is innovative. It's moving quickly. And we're seeing it in every major city across the country, seeing vehicles that have greater autonomy than before. And so safety is obviously top of mind. But it just goes back to the bureaucracy of the U.S. government, how slow we are. We're more reactive than proactive when it comes to innovation and technology. And that really can hinder development. It can hinder investment and resources and companies here in the U.S. as well. We need to be ahead of the curve, not behind it on this kind of technology. But we've got to move gracefully and got to move together. And you've got to look at why each different group is advocating for one position or another, right? More autonomous vehicles means fewer people needed in the transportation space and industry, and we get that. That's why unions would be against it, right? On the other hand, you've got lobbyists that want to protect interests in the industry, and so there's got to be a balance there between safety and innovation, and we've got to get the government, make sure the government doesn't get in the way of that innovation and those investments and those resources as well.
And then just a follow-up to that, you know, the FAA has the authority to review the technology that goes into aircraft before they start flying. But car manufacturers are basically free to certify themselves over a particular feature. And it's only if something happens that then there's closer scrutiny. So, for example, Tesla has undergone multiple investigations in the news today, again, for its full self-service driving vehicles caught on camera crashing into a pole. So is it viable that there are 50 different laws in 50 different states? How safe is that?
I will tell you, Tesla, we do know, they take safety seriously. And I have friends that own Tesla vehicles and they put out beta software. I mean, the market's going to kill a vehicle manufacturer if they're having those kinds of accidents frequently. So I would imagine anyone in this space isn't going to want to have accidents on the road because that's going to hurt their market share. That's going to hurt their branding. And so the safer they are, the more they will sell those vehicles. And so I do know from personal experience and seeing friends that own Teslas that Tesla does take that seriously. And they'll often put technology out first to a handful of users and see how it goes and test it out that way. And so safety's got to be paramount when we're talking about this kind of technology as well. But also, you know, the burdensome of regulations that we have, we can't regulate, over-regulate so that there is no innovation. I was just in Taiwan in November and saw fully autonomous buses. I actually rode on one. I'd never seen that kind of technology here in the U.S. and was overseas when I saw it the first time. And it was safely done and it was fascinating and it was innovative.
Congresswoman, I just want to switch gears and talk a little bit about cannabis legislation, which I know you have been working on, and you've spoken very courageously about your personal experience with marijuana, detailing how it helped you through the trauma of sexual assault when you were in high school. With the States Reform Act, you say you want to treat cannabis like alcohol instead of heroin. How so? And do you think that lawmakers are committed to giving you a hearing on this?
Well, for starters, the States Reform Act would regulate cannabis like alcohol, as you mentioned. It would deschedule it, taking it off of Schedule 1, which puts marijuana or cannabis on par with heroin. It should never be. You want to take it off Schedule 1 so you can study it for medical purposes. We need to respect the laws of every state. So in my home state of South Carolina, we have CBD and hemp. Florida has medical. California has adult recreational use. And so the States Reform Act would permit all those things to being legal. It would get the federal government out of the way. It would operate like alcohol, very low federal excise tax, and provide a framework for what's legal and what's already happening in 47 of 50 states. And so we haven't done enough on this issue. We have tried to do safe banking. It sounds like we might try it again for a seventh time. But, you know, the definition of insanity is doing something over and over and over again and having the same result. So it's time to do something different. And this is a comprehensive bill. It's got something for Democrats and Republicans alike. It's endorsed by groups on both sides of the aisle, from Normal to Americans for Prosperity to veterans groups to law enforcement groups. It has expungement and release for nonviolent criminals in there as well. It's got something for everyone on both sides of the aisle. And so it's time for us to try something different now.
Speaking of doing something over and over again and getting the same result, I know the Safe Banking Act passed the House for a sixth time last week. Looks like it still faces an uncertain fate in the Senate. And of course, this bill would allow marijuana businesses to utilize the banking system and not have them be so dependent on a mostly cash only basis. Where do you stand on that act, that Safe Banking Act? And why do you think it hasn't been able to move through the Senate?
I'm fully supportive of it. And it sounds like the House, we might actually tack on another bill to Safe Banking and do it a seventh time. For whatever reason, it can't get movement. Schumer, you know, can't get it through the Senate. I don't know why. This is something that Democrats campaigned on. This is something the vast majority of Republicans, even in the House chamber, they support Safe Banking. It should be easy to get it done, but it's not, which is why we need to go back to the drawing board, figure out what's missing with Safe Banking and make it work, which is why I believe the States Reform Act is a great option. It's literally once we get through Safe Banking again, and maybe we'll do more, and maybe Schumer will do his version of the bill, we're not going to be left with anything that can pass. And we've got to be able to work together, Republicans and Democrats alike, to make this vision a reality. And it's far past time that we do it. It's a wildly popular idea. 70 to 90% of all Americans, depending on how you're polling it, want to see cannabis reform at the federal level in one shape or another. And it's far past time we've been doing this. California has had some form of cannabis legal for over two decades now. And so it's time to tax it, regulate it, let states do what they've already been doing, which is a very Republican idea, but we can work on it together as Democrats and Republicans alike.
Congresswoman, more broadly, you know, midterms are around the corner. Inflation is high. Country is still split over COVID policies and masking. How much on defense are the Democrats at this point?
Very much so on defense. And I do believe there will be a sweep later this year with Republicans getting the majority. The only question really is how broad will that majority be? Is it going to be a mandate pushing back on the Biden administration, or is it going to be more of a consensus building time from 22 to 24? Because the November election in 2020 really should have been about consensus. The House had a very slim majority. The Senate is split 50-50. This should have been a time over the last year and a half, for us to work together, because that was the mandate from the American people. So we'll see. It'll be sweeping, but the only question is how broad will it be? And I feel very good about my chances. I feel very good about every swing district in the country right now going into Republican hands or staying there in the 22 cycle.
All right. Congresswoman Nancy Mace of South Carolina, thanks for stopping by the show today. We appreciate it.